I am John, Wookiee impersonator and a Ladrin warlock with the Warriors of the Stars. Along came Jason, my bearded friend. Fabulous secret ideas revealed to me the day he came to my house and said,
I want to make a podcast!
Only two others share this secret. Eric of the Loch Ness and Jacob. Together we started talking about toys, comics, games, and movies on the Super Awesome Geek Show! Welcome to another exciting episode of the Super Awesome Geek Show. Today we have Eric. Say hello, Eric.
Hey, guys.
And we have Jacob.
What's up?
Today on the show, we got some pretty exciting things coming up. So we're going to do a little bit of a new format here. We've got a few segments that we've added to the show. We're breaking up the main thing, trying to give it a little bit of variety here. So today on the show, we got Bob Layton, Greg Rucka, Jason Brubaker. They all answer the question, what do you geek out about? And we're going to discuss Knight Rider. Oh, yeah, we're going there. David Hasselhoff, Kit. Yeah, the 80s show all the way. And we also have Matt W. Nelson of Catbeard the Pirate. Got a little segment about him on the show today. And we're going to play, well, I should say, we're going to give our recommendation. Played Super Dungeon Explorer from Soda Pop Miniatures the other day. Had a few friends over. Went really well. It was a lot of fun. So we'll talk a little bit about that in a segment later on in the show. So I guess we'll get right into it. Let's start with a little bit about Knight Rider. So Knight Rider, Michael Knight, right? Played by David Hasselhoff?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Kit, the Knight Industries 2000. Do you guys know what the car was?
It was a 1982 Pontiac Trans Am sports model, and it cost $100,000 to build, the one that's in the episode.
Wow, really? $100,000. Interesting.
At that time, that was a similar cost to like Ferraris and stuff. So,
wow. So you mean that the one that's in the show that has the red lights and the special interior, that was all $100,000?
$100,000, yep.
Did you guys know that David Hasselhoff just auctioned off his kit car with Julian's?
No.
Mm-hmm.
How much did it go for, do you know?
It started, from what I read, my sources say it started at $15,000, and I guess they were expecting it to go between 30 and, let's see here, maybe 30 and 50, but I don't know exactly what it went for, but it has the doors are kind of different because it's got these Lamborghini doors. Let me send you guys the link.
Yeah, the ones that like slide from the, with like the mirror as it goes up.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Gullwing doors, not gullwing.
Yeah. I'm sending you guys a link right now so you can click on it and Skype. But it's pretty cool. It's really nice. And they auctioned off a couple of other things, but I thought that was interesting. The inside looks just wonderful. I'm not seeing a picture of it on Julian's auctions site, but if you look it up, the inside is like, wow, that looks really slick.
That's cool.
It started off at $15,000.
Would you ever drive the actual Knight Industries 2000 car? Or would you drive a replica? I mean, like, how would you feel? Would either of you?
For me, I'd feel like a show-off or not show-off. Since I'm not super knowledgeable about the show, like, I'd feel like a hipster, basically.
Well, let's bring it around to something that you have watched, like, say, Back to the Future. You know what I mean? Like, if you got your hands on...
Oh, I would drive a DeLorean all day.
Would you drive? Yeah, you would just drive it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
DeLoreans are awesome.
It would turn into your everyday car. You'd be like, oh, I'm driving the...
Whenever I see one, I get excited. The occasional times I see a DeLorean, I get super...
Well, I mean one done up like the car in Back to the Future.
Oh, that I don't know.
Yeah.
What about the Ghostbusters vehicle?
Oh, yeah.
Drive that around.
Wasn't the Ghostbusters vehicle like a... I forgot the name of it.
It's an old ambulance.
Yeah, but the name of the actual company who made it. Like Studebaker. It's a Studebaker...
Maybe so. I don't know.
I have no idea. Sorry.
Actually, the personal kit car that he sold was actually an 86 Pontiac Firebird.
Uh-huh.
Ah, okay. Interesting. Yeah, because they said it was a Pontiac Trans Am F-body, and it was the same style that the Firebird used. So I always wondered if they were interchangeable, you know, as far as making it look like kit, you know.
I always thought it was a Dodge Stealth. There must have been some other show that used a Dodge Stealth in a TV show.
You know, I think there was... Wasn't there a later version of Knight Rider where they did use a Dodge Stealth? And then there was another version later on where they used a Ford...
In Knight Rider 2000,
Mustang, right? They used a Mustang in the new one, newest one, right?
Yeah, I think it was a Mustang in a new one. The Knight Rider, it was Knight Rider 2000 that used the 91 Dodge Stealth.
Okay. Okay.
Do they keep the same voice?
I don't think they did.
No clue.
I know on the latest Knight Rider, maybe 2008, that, oh, at least I should say, one of the later ones, Val Kilmer was the voice, apparently.
Interesting. That, you know, that had to be in the 2000s, because he's, well, didn't he go out of fashion in for a period of time?
Val Kilmer?
Yeah.
Maybe so.
I mean, he was like really popular when he was in Batman and all that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was about the time, yeah.
Yeah, interesting.
I think the Knight Rider 2000 car looks stupid. It's dumb looking.
I like the original, and the Mustang's not bad. I remember they had, there was a contest where you could win the Mustang version of Kit.
That was the newer one, right?
Yeah, and I entered that because I entered that contest because I was like, that is such a cool looking car.
That was the one with the guy from Arrested Development, right? Who did the voice for Kit, the newest installment of Knight Rider.
Was it from Arrested Development? Was it?
It was a dude. One, the dude from Arrested Development, who the magician, he does the voice for Kit in the last series that just came out, not too long ago, I guess, a year or two.
Really?
Yeah, he was the voice for it.
Do you mean like Will Arnett?
Yeah, Will Arnett was the voice. For
really?
Kit.
Awesome.
Yes, Will Arnett was. I'm gonna look that up.
Yeah, Will Arnett, so, the voice Knight Rider.
So speaking of driving these cars around, you know, like if you had a car like Kit, you know, would you use it for good or evil? What would your, or just everyday use? Like, what would you do with a robotic supercar like Knight Rider, like Kit?
You know what? No, you know, Will Arnett was the voice of Kit for the remake movie of Knight Rider, but cool. Val Kilmer took over.
Right,
over. Oh.
Will Arnett withdrew from it.
Okay, so
I didn't know that.
So Val Kilmer's the one who's doing it right. Well, if there was a show right now, he would have been the one doing it right now, right? He was the last Kit was voiced by
Val Kilmer.
Okay, cool. All right, I guess he's no longer in fashion. How do you say that? He's back in style.
Yeah, I think there's only one season of the latest Knight Rider that was done.
Well, it said it was only a TV movie remake, and that was it.
Oh, I see. Okay,
that's what it says in this like one.
Oh, area. Maybe it was one of those things where they just said, well, let's not make a series yet because it's always failed so many times. Let's make a movie and see how the reaction is, and then that could be.
That's
so. So you want to answer my question though? What would you do with a car like Kit, Jacob?
I don't know. Probably nothing, to tell you the truth.
Just your everyday things? You go get groceries? Yeah.
Now, are we talking about the replica or the real car?
No, like if you had a real car, like would you be tempted to use it for good or evil? Would you become like a superhero in like Michael Knight, you know, on a crusade for the innocent, the helpless, the powerless, you know?
That's an interesting question. You can answer that one, Jake. If you got, if you really got Kit, you got a car talking to you, he's able to see inside buildings, you know, with his imaging systems.
I'd probably be probably right in the middle. I'd probably do some bad things, I'm sure. Mm-hmm. Probably some good things.
Yeah, you'd have him like figuring out lottery numbers and stuff, and
or like looking through locker rooms. You know?
Yeah, because he could do like the X-ray vision thing, and you could see what he could see on this TV screen. He could always connect electronically. Like he had the best wireless Bluetooth connection before there was ever Bluetooth and wireless connections. I mean, he could connect to ATM machines and get them to dump out their money.
Did you ever notice it took so many button presses for him to like end a call? Because he'd be ending a call with Devin and he'd be like, beep, boop, beep. And it'd be like three button presses. Like, really? Come on.
You can't just beep and hang up. Yeah.
It should be one beep, but there's always like three, or at least in the ones I saw recently.
Speaking of those calls, did you ever see an episode where he did the thing where he's like, oh, you're breaking up on me, and he's hitting buttons trying to make it look like it's fuzzing out. I never saw him do that, but I just wonder if he ever did. You know, oh, Devin, done, that was
done on Blue Thunder, I'll say, which was awesome, but I didn't see it on the Knight Rider.
Sorry, you're breaking up there, Eric.
Yep.
Wow.
Boring conversation anyways.
Yep. Oh, nice.
So, Eric, what about you? If Jacob's undecided or a little bit of both,
I'm going to go with the hero stuff. I'm going to try and do what I think is good. I'm going to, you know, help old ladies across the street. I'm pretty much in that pocket. I'm imagining you're the same, John. I can't imagine you doing something wicked with it, but what would you be doing?
Oh, I would totally do the lifestyle that Michael Knight has, you know, a lone crusader.
out there defending justice, you know, and he's out there for the helpless, the powerless, right. the weak, you know.
But really, but you notice that kid is always asking him, you remember that detour we had to make with that woman? What was her name? And he's like, her name was so-and-so. And kid's always giving him a hard time, like his conscience on why he's getting together with women or something, you know? You guys remember that?
But at least Michael Knight remembers all their names.
Yeah, the lone philanderer. Yeah, this week he remembers their names.
This was a show where everything was just implied. They never actually really showed him doing, you know, like he wasn't like Captain Kirk ripping his shirt off and being like making out with the next girl, you know.
True.
He just kind of flirted with them and smiled a lot and had that chest hair poking out, and which is kind of like, yeah.
You know, I always, but in rewatching some of the episodes, I appreciate how David Hasselhoff was somewhat flippant, cavalier. He really went with the show well. I thought he did it actually well, rather than being, I mean, he was cheeky, he was this and that, he was serious at times. And in rewatching it, I actually was surprised at how much I appreciated his portrayal of Michael Knight.
Yeah, I suppose you're right, because I guess if he had taken himself and the show really seriously, it would have come off bad.
Yeah, so that's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, he actually kind of, I think I get what you're saying. He sort of portrays the character and acts in a way on the show that allows for the fun and the humor and the campiness that you clearly see is there just to sort of be. And it's like, let's just accept the show for what it is.
Yeah, that's it. And when I watch MacGyver, and maybe I got to watch MacGyver again, but and he's sauntering through this, I think it was a nuclear meltdown. He's walking through it as if he's just reflecting upon life and talking about what he was taught by, you know, his grandfather or uncle or some such. And, well, my grandfather used to say, meanwhile, there's a nuclear meltdown happening, but he's treating it as if it's really no big deal, you know.
He's saying that that's how MacGyver always was.
Yeah, well, that's what I saw.
Like in the face of a nuclear meltdown, he would have been like just telling a story about his grandfather and how it, and then just like putting the duct tape on there and
right.
It's all good. It's all good. Don't worry.
Now the chocolate bar will help stop the nuclear meltdown.
So let's take a break from talking about Knight Rider here for a minute, if you guys don't mind, here and share this segment I put together. So I was able to meet with Matt W. Nelson over a Skype call, and we were able to talk a little bit about his webcomic. So here's a little snippet of that. Enjoy. Today we're interviewing Matt W. Nelson of Catbeard the Pirate. So Matt, I'd like you to introduce yourself and tell me a little bit about what you do.
Okay, I'm Matt Nelson, and I do an all-ages comedy adventure webcomic called Catbeard the Pirate about a pirate who's under a voodoo curse to have a living cat for a beard.
I really like the funny things about owning a cat and how you put them into the comic, and some of those one-off ones were pretty funny.
Oh, yeah. I like to do those as breathers in between the bigger stories just because it allows me to play around a little bit more with the cat aspect of it. And, you know, as a cat owner, I like to try and throw in stuff for other cat owners.
So are there two books out now?
There are two books out. There's a third on its way, hopefully by September. That was my projected Kickstarter date. And actually, I'm in the middle of rescanning all of the pages of book one so I can reprint it because I actually sold out from the Emerald City and the Kickstarter. So.
And now, the books, are they just compilations of what is on the webcomic, or do you have new material in there as well?
I always like to put in new material just because I feel that it's just a little bit of extra perceived value. You know, you're actually giving me money for a printed version of what you could read for free on the website. So here's a little something extra that, you know, you wouldn't get if you're just reading it online.
Is there anything that you really like? Is there anything that that's like really holding your attention and making you say wow? Like, is there something that you're just geeking out about right now?
Faith Erin Hicks, she's working on a big graphic novel called The Nameless City, if I remember correctly. And seeing some of the preview pages she's been putting out has been really great. Oh, gosh. That woman is an incredible, incredible artist and storyteller.
Oh, cool.
A lot of her books. They're really great. Let's see.
I'll have to go check those out.
Oh, really good.
Do you like pie?
I love pie.
Because we like
Everyone loves pie.
My favorite pie is a banana cream pie. And we were curious what your favorite pie is.
Well, that's a tough one.
So if you'd like to hear Matt's answer and what kind of pie he really likes, you'll have to listen to the full interview. The full interview is about 10-11 minutes long. It's over at superawesomegeekshow.com. Click on the interviews there and you'll find Matt W. Nelson and Catbeard the Pirate. You can listen to more about what we talked about during that interview there. So let's get back into our discussion about Knight Rider.
Do you guys have any favorite episodes? I mean, how long has it been since you've seen the show?
Probably like 89 or 90 for me. It's been that long. Like, I haven't watched it in ages.
So you haven't watched any of them on Netflix? Do you have Netflix right now?
I do. I haven't watched it, though.
But you don't watch them. Okay. I was excited when I saw them on Netflix.
I'm still watching Airwolf, so.
Excellent. Did you watch them recently, John?
I did. I mean, I watched a few scattered episodes here and there in the last couple of weeks just to refamiliarize with myself with it. Did you notice that a lot of seasons, if not all of them, I wasn't sure if it was all, but most of the ones that I looked at open up with a two-parter. Like there's a movie or so that starts the season. Did you notice that?
I saw it. I saw it when I did it, but I didn't pay particular attention, but yeah.
I really enjoyed the season two opener and the season three opener. Mm. The season two opener was called Goliath, and it had two. It was a two-parter where all the 80s cliches are there. You know, like the characters speak in riddles. They don't get to the point right away. Mm. They like over-embellish everything and put polish on stuff. Michael Knight is kind of a clone, right? I guess they assumed that the original guy had died, and what happened was Michael Knight was. His face was converted to look like this person that they thought was dead. Well, in this particular episode, the guy that Michael Knight is modeled after isn't actually dead, and he comes back. And this time, he shows up with a mustache and goatee. So The evil version of Michael Knight has a mustache and goatee. So it's just like the 80s cliches that we all grew up to love. And he steals the formula for Kit and creates an evil version of Kit as a truck named Goliath. So it's Hasselhoff versus Hasselhoff and car versus truck. The girl that helps him out in this one, I think, is the assistant in season two, is called April. And she calls up Michael Knight during one of the chaotic and turbulent time. And she's, you know, talking to him about things like, where is he? What's he doing? When's he coming back? And Michael's like pressing her for stuff. And they have this conversation that goes on for just like a minute or so before finally Michael goes, what's going on or whatever? And she goes, Michael, our boss, Devin has been poisoned. Get here quick. And I'm just sitting there on the other end going, why didn't you start with that? Mm. You know, because immediately he flips the car around and it does this big spin 180 in the street. And he goes tearing off in the other direction to get back to their mobile command center. And it's, you know, and it's kind of like, if you had said that 2 minutes ago, I would have already been on the way.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But
yeah, that was really good. I enjoyed that episode, Goliath, the opener for season two. That was enjoyable. And they got, I guess the truck's a little different. That doesn't have any AI in it.
No, I guess they just stole the formula for the coding, right? That makes him like indestructible or something.
Right. Yeah, and the formula apparently is divvied up between three guys who know what the formula is, and each of them have a portion of the formula, and that's why Devin has to be poisoned or knocked out with this sort of truth serum so that he gives up that portion of the compound.
Yeah.
And which I thought was interesting. The three guys have the compound and they all put it in. You know, just an interesting scenario there as opposed to it all being compiled together in one spot. So they spray this whole 18-wheeler down and they go head-to-head with Kit there.
Do you remember the like the cliffhanger between episodes one and two? He's rushing at the truck, right?
Yes.
Uh-huh. And he's like, he just figures he's going to like take it out or do something. And you're like, what are they doing? And at the last minute, he spins sideways and he goes, we'll take out the tires or something. Mm. And he hits the car on the side, hits the truck with the car on the side, and the car just kind of rolls over and the episode ends. And it's like, duh, duh, duh. Yeah, and I'm just kind of like, well, that was what?
Yeah, and when you open up, Knight's laying out partial, you know, his upper body is laying out of the vehicle and Kit's on its side and they're both sort of woozy. I think Kit is breaking up and Michael's injured, but he gets the manual for how to reroute maybe some of Kit's stuff to get him moving. Apparently he's got a turbine engine, which is really cool because a turbine engine is good for using different fuels and such. Little interesting side note there. But then they get rolling again. So,
did you have any favorites, Eric?
Because
you watched a couple recently, haven't you?
I did watch a couple. I liked Kit and Car. I thought that was fun.
Car was the evil version of Kit that first appeared, what, in season one, episode 9?
I think so. And I enjoyed that. And how Car is found, how he's discovered. And apparently he was before Kit. And
he's the prototype, sort of like Lore was to Data, right?
Yeah. Oh, right. Very good. Uh-huh. And CAR, do we know what the acronym CAR stands for? Does anybody have that on the tip of their internet browser?
It was something like the Night Industries. I don't remember what the A was, but it was
Roving Robot.
Roving Robot, right?
Yeah, it's Knights something Roving Robot.
Yeah, because I remember when he sees the bum in the alley, right? He tells him what it is. Or is that in the second one? Was that in the... because he reappeared like in season 3, episode 6 or something. And in one of those ones, Carr talks to a guy who's like a homeless person or whatever.
When he's discovered, it's by these two bums. These two
Maybe that's what I'm thinking of. It's the two bums that discover him. Is that what it is?
Yeah, one's name is Rev. And he's the guy who is... I'm Larry, and this is my brother Daryl, my other brother Daryl.
Yeah. See, I saw that episode. I didn't rewatch it in the last couple weeks. I saw that one like... boy, it had to be probably 6 months to a year ago, I think. But
they find him, and Carr says, hey, do you want to do some stuff together? They make this unity pact or whatever, and they're going to help each other out. They go knocking over some banks and taking money, and then Carr gets one of the bums. One of the bums wants to go kidnap Bonnie, the mechanic. They kidnap her because Carr needs some work done on him, needs to be updated somehow or fixed. When the bum comes back with Bonnie, the other bum that was resting or sleeping says, I don't want to be a part of this. He suddenly grows a conscience, you know, is upset about the kidnapping and gets in the other guy's face. And I think he's done away with. I think he's killed.
The bum is, right? That guy.
No idea any of this.
You know, Jacob, there's one that I think you would have liked if you had been watching this, and you might want to write this down, but watch season 3, episodes 1 and 2. It's another two-parter. It's called Night of the Drones. It's got everything in it. There's remote cars, there's transformers, there are radios that change into robots.
Jesus.
It starred some of the greatest actors ever known. I mean, you will be amazed. Season 3 is where I think it really took off, because there are guest stars on almost every episode, and you wouldn't believe the list of some of these actors. It's just amazing who shows up in some of these. But in this particular one, this two-parter, season 3, episodes 1 and 2, Night of the Drones, the NFL's greatest player, Jim Brown, is in there.
Wow.
Nice.
So
I'm
going
to watch that. I'm going to watch that tonight. That sounds really
good. He plays the bad guy in there. You know, he was in The Dirty Dozen with Charles Bronson. Oh, and
I love The Dirty Dozen.
And Ernst Borgnine, our guy from Airwolf.
Yeah.
And then Jared Martin's in there, Dallas. You remember your show, Dallas, that you were talking about before, Jacob. And you guys all know Ali Yong, the pro stuntman actor who was in everything from Bill and Ted's to Die Hard. He was in Lethal Weapon. You got to know who Ali Yong is. You see it, he was the Genghis Khan on Bill and Ted's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. And then he's the guy who tortures him, one of the henchmen in Die Hard. He tortures him. Doesn't he put up in Lethal Weapon, that's Mel Gibson, right?
Uh-huh.
He puts him against the chain link thing and he zaps him with that sponge, or he has him hanging. Remember, he has him hanging and he zaps him with that sponge that's electrified? That's Ali Yong who's zapping him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, when you see him, you'll be like, oh my gosh, he was in everything. And then Evan Kim was in the episode. He played in Caveman, Alien Nation, Max Headroom, V, the Kentucky Fried movie, and the Fistful of Yen thing. I mean, as soon as you see Evan Kim's face, you'll be like, oh my gosh, I know exactly who that guy is. He was in everything back then in the 80s. I loved Max Headroom. Do you guys remember Max Headroom? We should do a show on Max Headroom.
There's another show that I remember watching as I don't remember. I know I watched it as a kid, but I don't remember.
I didn't get much of Max Headroom, no.
No? I was surprised, Eric. I would have thought that'd be something you totally would have watched.
I might enjoy it. I just haven't seen it.
Yeah.
I did learn something about the creator of Knight Rider, created the TV show Quincy, Battlestar Galactica, Fall Guy, and Magnum P.I. also.
The Fall Guy.
That, dude, that is our connection. I have a thing. I'll send you a link to it, but I think I see Cylon and Kit meeting up at many Comic-Con type things, proving my strong hunch that Kit is actually the 8th Cylon model. And one day we will all wake up to 1980 circa Pontiac Trans Ams trying to take over the Earth.
What do you think? Awesome. Wow. Yeah, I mean, because I've often thought that Cylon sound and the Kit sound were very similar. So
again, it's a hunch. It's not even a working theory.
But you're saying that the same guy worked on both. Isn't that what you just said, Jacob?
Yeah, he was the creator.
Yeah, so very well could have.
He was the one who was actually able to convince the whatever studio originally put out Battlestar Galactica to give him $1 million per episode, which at the time was
crazy,
huge.
I mean, that's big today for a show to get $1 million per episode.
Another thing, it doesn't have anything to do with Knight Rider per se, but the creator, Glenn Larson, he was a Mormon. and the Battlestar Galactica was heavily incorporated with a lot of Mormon theology.
Interesting.
It goes into the huge list of like what he did that literally is almost exact. So I think it's kind of cool.
I thought that that was more Starship Troopers, but okay, cool.
Yeah.
Interesting.
That's the wiki's telling me.
Yeah, because it's interesting you bring that up, because like the beginning of the old Battlestar talked about, I mean, it was basically ancient aliens theory. You know, they were like 12 tribes of man, and the 13th was out in space somewhere and all this or whatever. And it was like, there are those here who believe that our origins started out there. Do you remember that whole beginning they had for the original Battlestar?
I think so.
It was a lot like ancient aliens that you see on the History Channel there.
Interesting.
So that about wraps it up for Knight Rider, huh?
So even though we're done talking about Michael Knight and Kit and all that Knight Rider business, I'd like to take a minute before we end the show here and just tell you about a game we played over the weekend. It's called Super Dungeon Explore. The game, as the title suggests, the game is a dungeon exploring game. I met one of the creators at SakuraCon 2014 here in Seattle, Washington, and he described it to me as Gauntlet. Remember the old video game Gauntlet? Well, he described it to me as Gauntlet on a board game. And that description fits it very well. When we played, we had four of my friends over, April and her husband Jordan, Rob Clifford and his wife Rachel. Together they played five heroes. So we had, in our game, we had five heroes against the console. The game took us a couple hours, and they all had a great time. When I told them what time it was near the end of the game, none of them had realized that much time had passed. So, time flies when you're having fun, is what they say, right? I highly encourage you to check out this game. It's a lot of fun. It's easy to pick up. And we will be doing an extended recommendation of this game. You can listen to that at superawesomegeekshow.com. Click on the recommendation link there, and you should see the full recommendation for Super Dungeon Explore, as well as a few other recommendations coming up.
And we're going to end the show just like we always do with the segment, What Do You Geek Out About? Here you go, and thanks for listening, guys. See you later. And here we are again at Emerald City Comic Con 2014. I'm John. I'm going to go up and ask these guys the question. What do you guys geek out about? So first off, we're going to talk to Greg Rucka today. Now, Greg worked on a lot of things in DC. He's done them all. I mean, Superman, Batman, Wonder Woman. He's written on Detective Comics. He co-created Gotham Central with Ed Brubaker. He's also worked on Wolverine over there at Marvel. And here's what Greg Rucka had to say.
Passion. I geek out about passion. I like it when people are passionate about things.
Then we went over and talked to Bob Layton. Now, Bob Layton's a pretty cool guy. He's best known for his famous run in Iron Man. Some of the most iconic traits about Tony Stark were thought up during this run of Iron Man, and much of what we think of today as Tony Stark and Iron Man come from that run. He's a great man, a giant in the industry, and here's what Bob Layton had to say.
Yeah, this is where we're going to break tradition with what you do here.
Sure.
Because it's not what I freak out about, it's why I don't freak out. Very early in my career, because you know, I started out doing fanzines and you know, stuff like that before the internet and all that kind of stuff. And Dick Giordano was my mentor. And in my early days when he was mentoring me, he, you know, I had like comic book collections and I was like gosh bowing over everything he did, looking over his shoulder, asking him about the story. And he finally just sat me down one day and said, look, he goes, there's something you have to realize. You're either a seller or a buyer. You can't be both. And so, as a result, I mean, I'll read a comic if it relates to the story I'm doing. If I need to research it or something. But it's not my hobby.
Yeah.
So, I know that's different. A lot of guys do treat it that way. But the reason why I've survived 40 years in this business is because I don't treat it like my hobby. It's my business. So, is there something I go gosh wow about? Some artists' work. There are artists that I think are amazing when I see what they do. But as far as characters or stories and stuff, no. But that's why. It's not that I dislike them or anything like that. It's just, it's not my hobby.
And lastly, we got Jason Brubaker. Now, Jason says that he's a creator of hardcover comics. He did a thing called Remind. You should really check it out. It's pretty cool. And he's currently working on something called Cythra. I know, with a name like that, you really want to just go run over there and see what it's all about. He's a very talented artist and storyteller, and I really encourage you to go check out all of his work. Very good stuff over there.
I geek out about acoustic, amazing acoustic guitaring. amazing acoustic guitar that imitates 8-bit music.
Sounds good. Yeah.